Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Church of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to be here today. It's wonderful to have the opportunity to hear God's word and to worship him. And for those of you who are here, it's wonderful to see your faces. For those of you who saw our announcement this week, hopefully you got a little taste of what's to come this morning. You read ahead, and there was an announcement for what book Brother Tim will be leading us out of today. And I'm excited because I started to dig into it, and I want to see where the Lord takes us today. So with that, why don't we all rise? I'm going to have Brother Tony come up and open us in prayer that the Lord would bless us today. May God bless you.
Let us bow our hearts as we bow our heads. Kind, righteous, and holy Father, we humbly bow before your throne of grace. And we can truly say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We cannot praise thee sufficiently. Our vocabulary is limited. And therefore, Lord, we want you to read our heart, mind, body, and soul, that we owe everything to thee. And because he lives, we can see the future. We can hold the future. And we know, Lord, what our expectations are. And therefore, I humbly pray this morning that thou would bless each and every soul that is assembled here, and especially our brother Tim, who will deliver the word of God, that, Lord, thou would bless his tongue and his heart and his mind, that he might expound those things which are beneficial to your children here below. We pray this morning, too, that you would comfort those that mourn the passing of our beloved sister Joy. Remember her family, her girls, Lord, who've left behind. We simply ask, Lord, we know as we go through life one by one, we all will leave one another behind, but yet, Lord, the great glory is that we'll meet where parting is not known. Therefore, take this service in thy care and keeping. Raise us up that we might look inside ourselves and recognize of a surety that we must take account of where we are today and where we are in thy sight, that we might be worthy, Father, to enter thy kingdom. You promised that you would, that no man would be lost, and therefore we pray that every soul that hears thy word this morning, wherever it might be, might somehow give themselves to thee and serve you in spirit and in truth. Take this service now in thy care and keeping, and all is said and done, receive us in thy kingdom is our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Get situated here a little bit. We'll see what the Lord has for us today. I am very excited about this topic this morning, and I don't know how many, if this has happened to everybody, but you know, sometimes you start studying a scripture and you think you got it figured out, and you study it some more and the Lord starts to open it up to you, and you get a very different message out of it than what you started out with. And this the book of Nehemiah has been on my mind for weeks, and I just kept going back to it, and it just kind of morphed on me in a very different way. And I look forward to opening up at least the understanding that I was given, and you know, maybe one of my brothers will follow with something even addition to that, but I'm going to go ahead and give you a little bit of a spoiler alert ahead of time. I sent out the theme, building with a sword in one hand. And the sword in the book of Nehemiah that I got out of it and that I'm going to kind of lead to is the love of God. And it's not what I started out with, but I'm going to show you how I see, how I feel like the book of Nehemiah illustrates how that when we have the love of God, the power of God can be present. And that the key is having the love of God. That's the starting point for the power of God to be present. And I think that there's a number of things as we go into this that we're going to see as we study this scripture. So, and it's an interesting story besides. And I would love to have met Nehemiah in real life to get to know him. If just, okay, Okay, let's see, I gotta. The key scripture that I'm gonna have Brother Micah bring up is 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we're gonna see how love overcame fear in the story of Nehemiah here, and hopefully relate it to our own lives. So, just to describe the man Nehemiah a little bit, he was, it says, the cupbearer for the king. So to give a little bit of background of what the cupbearer to the king was, this is a position of status, okay? The cupbearer to the king, he was eating and drinking at the king's table. He was associating with the king and his family in a very intimate level. He was on the king's court. He was hearing the discussion that was very high level. And he had to be the kind of person that the king would say, I want this guy around, you know? So I have to imagine that Nehemiah was not just some flunky. He had intelligence. He had wit. I'm imagining, because later in the chapter, it talks about the king saying, I've never seen you sad before, that he had a personality that was just magnetic, you know, that the king just enjoyed having him around. He was electric and jovial and fun and also intelligent and trusted, and that he had a very good life in the king's court. You know, this guy was not somebody that dressed shabby. He was not somebody that didn't live in comfort, that didn't eat good food. He had the best of all that and being a part of that. And so Nehemiah was in a very, very privileged situation and a very safe situation being in the king's palace. It doesn't get much better than that in his day and age. You know, this was a very, very powerful king that we're talking about here. And so he's enjoying his life, and I don't know the story of how he achieved this position being a Jew in this, you know, in this foreign kingdom, but he must have been a really sharp guy, and I, like I said, it would be interesting to meet him. So some people came from Jerusalem, of his people, you know, of Israel, and he had occasion to talk to them and asked about, you know, what happened. And he learned that they were in great affliction and reproach, that the wall was broken down, the gates were burned. And if you can imagine, with no wall, with no gates, the wall is down, the enemies surrounding them could freely come in and raid them. You know, they were terrorized, basically, because there was no government, no police or anything like that. And so it was just a very scary situation for them. And this is where we start to see the love of God come into play, because Nehemiah, when he heard this, he was just brokenhearted for them. You know, so that gives me a clue that Nehemiah was a man that had the love of God, because it would be very, you know, it be very easy for him to just say those poor whatever, you know, but he instead, he took it to heart. And it tells us in the scriptures that that he was fasting and praying for them day and night. That this totally disrupted his ability to enjoy life. You know, he was that concerned for them. And so we see this first illustration of the love of God, that it disturbed him to that point that he had to do something about it. He realized that God had put him in a position of privilege, and he's fasting and praying and allowing the Spirit to work with him as to what can I do for these people. You know, I have to imagine that in just that love allowed that Spirit of God to come in and start to work with him, because he started, for one thing, he was convicted. It says that he confessed the sins not only of his people, but of his own family and of himself. And he repented of those things. And he rehearsed to God the promises that we see in Deuteronomy, that that if the people transgressed, they would be scattered and cursed. But if they turn to the Lord and love him with all their heart, walk in his ways and keep his commandments, he would gather them and return them to their lands of promise and bless and prosper them. So again, we see the love come in that if the people would turn to the Lord and love them with all their heart, you know, so this love thing is a key point, and you'll see farther in the story here how that changes their circumstances. And so Nehemiah asked God to grant mercy in their sight and also to bless him when he went before the king, okay? So, because he had quite a tall order that he was going to be asking the king for. And again, you think about this man that is in this position of high status that would go before the king that has allowed him as a foreigner to be in this high status and tell him, I want to leave and I want to go build a wall for my people. What message does that send? He risked everything to do that. You know, he basically said, I don't care that I could be harming my situation for the rest of my life by going to the king. This is what the Lord has put on my heart. I love my people enough that I'm willing to risk it. Right? Now that's huge. That would be like, you know, you're basically risking your future, your savings, your retirement, your status, everything. The king could have just said, get out of here. Don't you appreciate what you got? He could have said that. And instead, well, not only did he ask the king if he could leave, but he asked for resources to build the wall, right? Does that make any sense? I mean, he really put it all on the line. And this is where, again, we see more of the king had to be impressed by the love that he saw in Nehemiah to the point where the Lord was able to work upon him. And the king said, yes, I will not only grant that you can go back and to build the wall, but Nehemiah was given letters to authorize him to get wood from the forest. He was given a captain and soldiers to accompany him to have a safe trip. This was huge, what he asked for and what he was granted. And again, it is out of the love of God. And they must have had a love for Nehemiah. You know, he must have carried love within him that the king and his queen were willing to do this too. You know, that this was something that wasn't just happened like that, that there was a continuous building of this relationship. Well, if you can imagine, when the enemies of Israel heard that Nehemiah was coming, they were not happy about that. And, you know, we'll see how that all played in. Because Nehemiah got there, and he starts quietly assessing the situation and got the priests and the rulers together and explained to them the miracle that he had been given these resources, how the hand of God was upon him, and that with God's help, they were going to restore this wall. You know, they were going to build this wall. And the people, you know, they had to recognize, what did Nehemiah put at risk? What was he willing to give up to come here and help us make this change? And they recognized that love in him. Again, we're seeing that love that allowed them to recognize him as their leader and give him that authority, because that was something that they had to do for this to take place. And in fact, we see that they did rally. So I want to just concentrate on the people for a little bit here and see how love changed them. If you think about the people before Nehemiah got there, everybody's living in their little house in Jerusalem, and each family is trying to defend themselves, you know, when they on these raids and all these kinds of things. Each family is independent, and they are just trying to survive and just looking after their own thing. The idea of rebuilding the wall seemed impossible. You know, it seemed like a task that was just overwhelming because it had taken years to do that, and And they're like, I'm just one family. What difference can I make? And of course, the enemy kept them completely, powerless because they were constantly being brought down. But after Nehemiah came and united them, then all of a sudden, the love of God was able to come in where they were able to say, wait a minute, if we just look after our own needs, we're at the mercy of the enemy. But when we start and we say, it's important for all of us to look out for all of us, and we start demonstrating the love of God, and we have the power of God come in to help us, and each person says, I'm doing my part. You know, this is a difference here. When all of a sudden everybody says, well, I can't do everything, but if I do this, and you do that, and you do that, and you do that, all of a sudden, we got it covered. But it took trusting that, you know, we're all going to do something. We're all going to care for the greater good. You know, we're all going to love our families and say, how can I create an environment that's going to be conducive for my children and my grandchildren? All these things, you know, they respected Nehemiah's leadership. They overlooked their differences of opinions, you know, because you get that many people, they're not all seeing things the same way. And the love of God says, you know what? I don't have to have it my way all the time. It's more important that we get done what the Lord wants us to do and we get those differences aside and not let them stand in the way. Because the enemy is looking to stir those things up. And, you know, and we read in the scripture that the they did have their enemies, and their enemies were spreading rumors and telling stories and trying to discourage them at every turn. But when they united, they were able to overcome those things. And even if we read farther in, even within, you know, they were able to get over some of their differences. So as the enemy saw that the wall was starting to be built, this is where they said, okay, we got to start attacking them. You know, we're going to start physically attacking them and hindering them. And again, this is where the love of God comes in, where the only way that they could be safe from the enemy is if they said, you know what, I'm willing to put my life at risk to defend my brother. I am willing to step out for the common good and put my life on the line, because if we all do that, we can overcome this enemy. But if we all think, I'm just going to look after my own self, it doesn't work that way. And, you know, I mean, so we've seen that in our nation, you know, when we've gone to war, you know, repeatedly. It's when people look at the greater good, and that's a godly thing. That's having that love is a godly thing, where you're willing to defend and put your life on the line. Just to go in, and if I can pull up the other scripture, yeah, okay, so you've got this, 4:17, Nehemiah 4:17. They which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So, how did the love of God change the attitude of the people? Everybody that was able participated in some way. They were continually prepared to fight the enemy. Now, one of the things that I think the Book of Mormon does a great job of explaining is that there's an opposition in all things. That we should expect that whenever we're doing something good, that there is a force that, you know, that Satan is trying to discourage us. And, you know, we can look at it one way. We can, you know, Brother Austin preached about surrender last week. Surrender works both ways. We can surrender to the love of God and say, I am going to step forth and I'm going to do what the Spirit of God and what the love of God would have me to do. Or we can surrender and say, the enemy is giving me opposition, so I'm just going to back off and do nothing. And just, you know, and not stir him up. And, you know, the thing is when we are willing to surrender to the love of God, which these people were, you know, they built that wall in 52 days. You know, they rallied. When that trumpet went off, they're like, I'm going to the defense of my brother, and I'm willing to stick my neck out there to get it done. You know, they it says that they slept close to the wall, and they trusted in God. You know, they called upon the Spirit of God, and because they had that love of God, you know, because they were united, the Spirit of God was able to work and was able to rally them, and they were able to overcome the enemy. And even, you know, the other kind of opposition that they experienced is they had opposition from within. Does that sound familiar at all? Can we have opposition from within? Can we discourage each other from within? You know, in the case of Nehemiah, they had some people that were exploiting others. And the people that were being exploited went before Nehemiah and said, look, you know, we're being taken advantage of. And thankfully, the love of God again prevailed, that those that were exploiting them returned everything and said, okay, we're going to stop right now. This is done. This is over. And the people, again, were able to be united because of the fact that somebody was willing to sacrifice. And I don't know all the details, and it's not important. The important thing is that they said, this is going to end, and we're going to make it right. Then Nehemiah was able to have a spiritual revival, and that's a whole other story. He put a righteous man in charge of them, again, that had a love for God and a love for the people, and it really was a turnaround for them. And so I want to just kind of turn this back over to our situation today a little bit and see where that goes a little bit, because we have some things in common today with what they did back then, in that, you know, some of us, and I'm not going to say all of us, but generally speaking, in the United States of America, we live a very comfortable life. We do, you know. I heard a statistic the other day that really surprised me. It said, if you live in the United States, you're in the top 10% of the world, period. Even the poor people, it said. You are so far above everybody else, you can't even imagine. And that just struck me, because it's like, wow, I'm that much above. And so we are very privileged, and it's easy for us to decide not to look around and as to what other people's circumstances are. But that's not what the Lord teaches us. So that's not the example of Nehemiah. You know, one of the things that struck me in reading about Nehemiah, and I'll see if this resonates at all. So Nehemiah is in a very high protected place, living a life of privilege. He hears of people that are suffering and decides that he's going to go to where they are and make a way for them to be freed with that. Does that sound repetitive at all of other situations in the scripture? You know, does that sound like Christ? Is that not the example that he set? Is that not what we're supposed to do? This is what I'm excited about this scripture, because when I read this, as I got into it, I'm like, this is me. This message is for me. It's for all of us, that the Lord is saying, don't neglect others just because you're in a comfortable situation. You know, we can't let get so caught up in just enjoying life that we don't have love for others. And I'm not saying God doesn't intend for us to enjoy life. He does. You know, the scriptures teach us that man and God's plan was for us to have joy. It absolutely is. But not, you know, but we also get joy when we love others. And there's joy in giving. And there's joy in, we're blessed when we do for the Lord. We are absolutely, it exceeds any entertainment. Honestly, my experience in life is the satisfaction when I am doing for the Lord far exceeds any satisfaction I get from any form of entertainment. And it's real. It's not an illusion. You know, it's like you go to Disneyland and the whole thing is an illusion. Or you go to Las Vegas and it's all about an illusion. And when you share the love of God, and you elevate someone else's life, if the Lord uses you to elevate someone's life to a better place, that is a joy that is solid and it's real. That's what Nehemiah experienced. Can you imagine how satisfying it was when that wall was built and when he was able to institute the word of God among his people again and help them live in righteousness, and they rejoiced and praised God? You know, what a wonderful feeling that must have been for him. The Lord wants us to experience that kind of joy where we bring souls to Christ and allow them to experience the wonderful salvation, the freedom from sin, the power of God in their lives. That's the commission that he's given us when we do the love of God. And what that entails is, just like the people in Nehemiah's day, we can't be just like this, thinking, well, you know, oh, COVID's here, I'm just going to hole up in my house and do nothing. You know, that is, the enemy's telling us that. And I'm not saying that everybody has to be present in everything. I don't know everybody's circumstances. I'm not going to judge that. But there's something we can do. And, you know, and like I said, when I read the scripture, I was convicted. There's more that I can do to impact other people's lives. And like I say, it's between all of us and the Lord. It's between each one of us to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And to honestly look at it and to honestly say, am I acting out of fear or am I acting out of love? Because the Lord wants us to act out of love. And he's not asking us to be foolish. It's just like I'm looking at a room full of people full of masks. You know, we're just using reasonable caution. You know, they had their swords. You know, they had their physical swords too. The Lord doesn't just say throw caution to the wind. He's not saying that, but he's not saying just go in your house and close the door. You know, honestly, he wants us to be active. And I know there's branches that are unable to meet where they're doing all kinds of things online, and they're, you know, or some people, you know, I know we have people in our branch that have a card ministry that reach out to people, or phones or whatever. You know, find what there is that the Lord has given you to do and do it with the love of God. Just enjoy it. The Lord doesn't, you know, that's another thing. I'm not trying to throw a guilt trip on anybody, because the scripture also teaches us that a gift given grudgingly is not a gift at all. You know, we want to stir up the love of God so that we're doing it out of love and out of joy and not because we're supposed to, not so we can check a box. That's not the God that we serve. He wants us to have joy in serving him. Absolutely. And we'll have victory. You know, he wants us to focus on the things that he loves and the things that are important to him, so that we can further the kingdom of God. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we had our fasting and prayer service Wednesday, which was beautiful. Honestly, we don't get the attendance on some of our Wednesday nights. You know, it's one thing to say I can't go on Sunday for whatever reason, but we would love as a ministry to make arrangements for you to be able to join us on Wednesday night electronically. It's a very safe place, and it means so much to see us. And, you know, I don't know if people realize it's a missionary effort just to be present, okay? It's a missionary effort because we are role models. We are all role models to our young people. And if we're not there, then we're not being a good example of participating and being there. And the other thing is, for our young people, if we get enough, then we can do a breakout group of young people. You know, I was talking to our branch leadership about, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could do this or that? And they're like, well, we have to have a certain core group of supporters in order to do some of those things. And so I'm asking everybody, reach out to our leadership and say, hey, what can I do? I think of our junior church and our Sunday school and all those kinds of things that we're not having for our kids. You know, you don't make up those years. We have so much time that we have an opportunity to expose our kids to the gospel. And we are going on close to a year that they have had nothing. And that, I don't believe that's pleasing to God. But in order for us to do something, it takes people to manage it in this COVID environment. It takes a lot of people and a lot of effort. And we need volunteers. We need people to step up and say, you know, I can do this or I can do that. Otherwise, we're going to lose our kids. I mean, it's very serious. I'm convicted that I feel like I need to do part of it, and I'm looking forward to assisting in some way, however that might be. But there's just so many needs, and you know, and when we really seek the love of God, He will steer us to something, because it's not, you know, we can't all do something for the kids. We can't all do something with cards or whatever, but there is something for each of us to do. Prayer, you know, I know we have prayer warriors, and I can think of some in the past that we've called upon and said, hey, this is a situation, can you pray? And because they were maybe physically not able to do much else, but boy, they had their list, and they had faith, and those prayers would get answered. You know, I whatever it is, find out what the Lord is, and exercise that love of God. You know, the scripture tells us that God doesn't ask us to do anything without making a way. He intends for our branch to be thriving. He intends for our kids to be exposed to testimonies, to the Word of God in classes, to examples of other people that you know, just experiencing our love, all those kinds of things. You know, we need to, and also for visitors when they come in. You know, we have seen visitors from time to time, and if they come in and they don't see anybody that they can relate to at some point, that's not an encouragement for them. I'll just leave it at that. And we don't, you know, sometimes we don't continue to see them. But we do need to pray for our leadership, because nobody wrote the book on how to deal with COVID. You know, this is a very unusual. I tell our presiding elder all the time, this is unprecedented. You know, it's tough enough to be presiding elder, but when you get this situation, it's like somebody pulled the rug out from underneath you. This brother needs prayer. He really does. Because there's no easy answers. And I know that he expressed that. You know, some people say they're not coming because we're not cautious enough. And some people say they're not coming because you're making me wear a mask. What are you supposed to do? So I'm going back here and I'm saying, these people in Nehemiah's day, they said, you know what? It's not exactly the way I want to do it, but I'm going to come anyway, and I'm going to help you out, and I'm going to volunteer and do something, because if I just stick by my stubbornness and say, well, it's not the way I want it, the gospel's not going forward. But when we share the love of God and when we exercise it and say, I'm going to overlook that, and we get together and we work, we're going to make progress. And I'm calling upon us all, starting with me, let's just, you know, make compromise and love one another and support our leadership so that we can restore some of these things that we're lacking, so our kids can grow up feeling like they're part of something. So forgive me, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I love you all, and I love the church, and I love our kids. I love all of them, and I want to see them grow up in the gospel the way that I had it, where we were so close and we felt so much love, and I'm just not seeing that with this COVID thing. It's tough. That's our wall right now, is overcoming all of this obstacles and opposition. But we can do it with the love of God. You know, we can do it. The Lord will make a way. And it's being done in other branches. And we can do it here. We have the resources. We have a wonderful group of saints here. I see so much good. We just have to unite, and we have to, you know, we have to get together and overcome that opposition. And I know that we can be successful with the help of God in restoring our worship and bringing everything back, you know, that we can exercise more freely the operation of the Spirit, all these things. That's what God's plan is for us, and it all comes down to the love of God. Allow the love of God to work in your life day by day, you know, hour by hour, and seek His direction, and He will guide us to victory. May God bless you, is my prayer.
Boy, I really enjoyed the message. God bless you, Reverend. Takes courage to say things sometimes that are needed. It takes courage. Can I get an amen on that? And Tim gave us a little homework and told us to, you know, dig into the Word of God. I'm preaching on this book. How many times have we read this book? Not enough, I'll tell you that. And so I want to go to the fourth chapter, and I believe there's a gem in this chapter that Nehemiah writes about. And you might think it's so insignificant, but it's there for a reason. And I believe it has an amazing spiritual connotation for us to really apply. And so you go to the fourth chapter. Hang on one second. Let me find it. And I want to take us to the 21st verse, Micah. And so, you know, they're working. And they're trusting in God to fight for them. Are we doing the same thing, brothers and sisters? Are we trusting in God to fight for us amidst all of our challenges? And so, it says, so we labored in the work. This is a continuation of this chapter. Here's the beauty. They labored in the work. We're moving on. Half of them held spears. I imagine the young men, the skilled, these young men who were placed in a position to protect while the laborers labored. You know, I want to take a pause here a second. From the rising of the morning till the stars appeared, they never took a break, brothers and sisters. And you know, God has placed us in the Church of Jesus Christ and in your own life. I don't care if it's your secular vocation. You know you were placed there for a reason. God placed you there. That whatever you do in word or in deed, you do it all into the name of the Lord with all your might, all your strength, all your soul. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I enjoy working. It gives me purpose. I don't talk about retirement because I love what I'm doing. And I go every day to my company and I give them the best that I have because I appreciate what I have. I appreciate. They're good to me. And I want to be good back to them. I want to be good to the people that I lead and that I work for and I serve. How could I be any different there than I'm here? If I'm one way here and a different way there, I'm a phony, brothers and sisters and friends. I can't. And so we go on. Next verse. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with a servant lodge within Jerusalem, that holy city of God. That could be the church, brothers and sisters, that in the night they may be guard to us and labor on the day. I want to take a quick pause here a second. Nothing rallies people like a cause. You know, when I first moved here, I'm going to call it out. I have to. I didn't know why God brought me here 20 years ago. I was somewhat involved in the work in Mexico. I thought, well, I'm a little closer. Little did I know my vocation was to unite the people of God here in this part of the vineyard. Not that I was going to do it, but God would use me in some way to show love, to show an example. We were so split as a church. Who was here 20 years ago? Raise your hand high. We were split. We were as far from the east as to the west on an issue. You want an issue to split us? COVID's not the first issue. Issue after issue. If this goes away and it's history next year, I don't know. We'll find another issue. It's how people are. I don't want the church in Mesa. I want the church in Phoenix. Can you imagine that? I can't even put my head around that. I remember one time when I first moved here, I said, I don't care if they put this church on Mount Superstition. I'm going to the Church of Jesus Christ to worship my God. And you know what happened after a couple years with the love of God and beautiful services and giving worship to the Lord? I remember those days in that Tempe Women's Center. How about you? You remember the Spirit of God that accompanied us? And little by little, we began to unite. And when we came together to erect this edifice to the honor and glory of God, we were filled with unity, brothers and sisters. When we didn't even think we had money, there was so much coming in, we almost had to tell the people, slow down a little bit. But we didn't have the labor to handle it all. Being on my knees together with my brother Tony as we laid tile, and I didn't know what I was doing. I was one of those laborers then. He directed me and he yelled at me. I just wanted to be near him because he was an example. God bless you, my brother, 87 years old. And he's still an example for the Lord. We had great help and great unity. And so I want to go to the last verse, which is so significant. So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off just for washing. You know how important that is? How about your spiritual clothes? You set them down. Don't take them off. If we're on a vocation to serve and work for the Lord, these clothes need to stay on night and day. And the washing represents forgiveness. That's the only time you take your clothes off. Lord, cleanse me. And go back to work, brothers and sisters and friends. Amen. I remember one time, here's my example as a young boy. 1968. There was so much civil unrest in the town that I lived in. When Martin Luther King was assassinated, our town exploded. I remember as a kid, we moved. My dad moved us. We had a beautiful, beautiful four-bedroom home. My grandfather built it with his own hands. Lived right across the street from my grandparents. It was paradise for me as a kid growing up. And we had to move because it was so bad. 12 miles away, we moved. One Sunday morning, my dad and me and my brother were walking to church. It was August. I'll never forget. I was 10 years old. Beautiful summer morning. We lived a short walk from church. And here, the sirens are going behind us. We moved out of the way, and fire trucks are just racing down Ross Drive, where our church was. Named after our evangelist, Brother John Ross. He donated the land. Oh, my. And when we got to church, we seen a scene that I never could have. It's burned in my mind. Our church building was on fire. I remember as a little boy, the saints were crying. They were hysterical. Smoke was billowing out. I remember a scene that's etched in my memory. Old Brother Tony Palmieri was carrying the communion kit in his hands. Out behind the back door, all white, and he was trying to save it. The church was on fire. And you know, little by little, we realized as the police came and as the fire marshal came, it was arson. Men came into the church, and they actually desecrated the house of God. We had a barrel of food that we were giving to the poor. We had clothes for Nigeria at that time. And they ransacked the food. They threw broken cans and unate food all over the floor. And then as they partied in the house of God, then they set it on fire and left. And you know, we didn't know what was going on. There was so much civil unrest. We didn't know. Little boy I was, and I remember watching the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ come together. You know what they did, brothers and sisters? They didn't know until the investigation was over. Brother John Ross, our pastor, he asked every man, every male in that membership, I need you to sleep in the church tonight. For the rest of the week, they slept on the rostrum. I remember my dad telling me that he cozied up next to Brother John and they spoke scripture all night long. Until those men were caught. They were caught. And they were brought to justice. And then, you know, they stopped sleeping in the church. Can you imagine as a young boy what an example that was to me? See these men not being afraid. If these villains were going to come back, these men of God were going to defend the Church of Jesus Christ. I was impressed, I have to tell you, as a young boy. You know, we built that church back up just like Nehemiah. No, our Christmas was ruined. Yes, it was. We ended up having Christmas in the basement of the church. It wasn't the same, but we built that church up again, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. My brothers and sisters, God bless Brother Tim for the courage that he had. And I'm telling you what, there's no COVID going to stop the gospel of Jesus Christ from going to people if you have a desire. If you say, no matter what, I'm leaving my spiritual clothes on, I'm not taking a break and setting them down. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to have the same energy. And look, brothers and sisters, we're all different. If you all can't be 100%, right, available, or 100% all in, just because we have some challenges, like Tim said, our circumstances limits us. Don't limit the Lord. You know God understands that. And you're in the very spot you're supposed to be in. Do it with all your heart what you can do. Amen. Do it and don't judge nobody. I don't want to judge anyone. I want to love everyone. I want to give you all what God has given me, grace and mercy, because I'm a sinner and I need him in my life. And so may God bless you, brothers and sisters. What a good lesson this morning. May we have a love for people and a love for the Church of Jesus Christ. When I say I love the Church of Jesus Christ, what am I saying, brothers and sisters? I love the Lord. You know, Jesus is the one that died on Calvary. The church didn't die for me. Do you understand that this morning? When I say I love the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm like, Brother Tim, I love you, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I love you. You're my family. And I ache in my heart when I see that we're not as close and united as we should be, as I would my own children, as I would my family. May God bless you today. May you be filled with God's Holy Spirit and love. And love the Church of Jesus Christ. Love, if you love the church, you can't say, I love the Lord, I don't love the church. That's you're a liar. That's what the scriptures teach us. If you love the Lord, you love God's people. Amen this morning. May God bless you is my prayer.
What a beautiful summary of that scripture, and what a beautiful call for all of us that, you know, no matter where we're at over these last 11 months, God has something in store for each of us. He has a work for each of us. And I was thinking about what is to come. And in order for us to be able to do those things, as Brother Pete just beautifully pointed out, to be the best person you are in that, in whatever scenario you're in, whether it's your work or whether it's at school, the prophet Ezekiel points this out so beautifully. And he's talking about Israel in this scripture, but I think it applies to you and I today. And if you remember at this point in the scripture that Israel had been scattered and lost, and they were coming back to their homeland. And there's this prophecy that says, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. And this is what we need. Because I, God the Father, Jesus Christ, will sprinkle clean water on you and clean you from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols. Whatever distraction you have today, God can take that away. What do you think your service is to? If it's not to Jesus Christ, he can take it away today. And I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. You see, that was the attitude that the people had at the beginning of that scripture that Brother Tim read today. That they didn't have a heart of stone. They had a heart of flesh. They had a heart of love that they were able to work together. But if you read on, it started to change and it became different. But if we stay in that spirit, if we stay within that cleanliness that Jesus Christ does for us, he can change us and he can use us. He can inspire us to be better. And that's my hope for each and every one of us today. That's the hope that Brother Tim gave you today. No matter what our limitations, God loves us. And we love you. And we want to support you. We want to be together as a big family. That's our desire. That's why we reach out. That's why we call. That's why our brothers and sisters send you cards, because we love you. What a beautiful desire that is for us. And it all comes from him. So may God bless you this week. We thank you for the beautiful support that we have from our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the love that we feel on this as your leaders. Because without that, it becomes very difficult, as Brother Tim said sometimes. But your love through Jesus Christ inspires us. So with that, why don't we all rise? I'll ask Brother Brian to come up and close us in prayer.
Let us all bow our heads in prayer. Our righteous, eternal Father, we bow our heads, Lord, at the close of this service. And, oh Lord, we thank you for the words that you have blessed our brothers with, even words of inspiration that stirred up our soul, Lord, in our service unto thee. We thank you, Lord, that when the time came for Jesus, Lord, to come into the world, that he was willing to leave the kingdom of heaven. He might be our example, Lord, here upon the face of the earth. And may we too, Lord, like him, be willing to labor and to work for thy kingdom here below. For we know, Father, that there's a great reward that you have in store for all those that love and serve you. All those, Lord, that dedicate their life for thy kingdom here below. That, oh, Father, you have a mansion prepared for those that love and serve the Lord. I pray, O Lord, that we might serve you with all our heart and with all our soul. We might serve one another, Lord, as our brothers and sisters in Christ. And, O Lord, that we might be the light of this world, even that others, Lord, might see the glory of thy Son, Jesus Christ, in and through us. So I pray, Father, that you would bless the remainder of our service, that it would be to thy honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name.